Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dynamite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right, everybody, good evening. February 15th, 2023. Hope everybody had a decent Valentine's Day. We are here for Wednesday Night Dynamite. I am Don Tony, as always. Much love. Thank you for joining me, whether it's live or on the archive. We have some news to get into. We'll get into some quick results for Dynamite and NXT tonight. Tonight we'll get into that as well. Little odd match that seems to be pushed on social media about NXT Stand and Deliver, which has me just confused beyond belief. And I have to share with everyone, you know, just another reason why social media really helps you get turned off about AEW programming. And when we get into it later with regards to Athena, I do put a lot of this blame on Tony Khan, and I'll explain why in a little bit. It's not going to be a popular opinion, but I think it's a factual one. But, you know, before we get into anything, as I showed you right at the beginning of the show, Jerry Jarrett has passed away at the age of 80. God bless him that he lived to be 80 years old. Now, look, you know, we talked about this on Patreon a little bit yesterday. You know, Jerry Jarrett, the last time that he was really active in pro wrestling, I mean, just full-time active, was TNA in its infancy. You know, he is one of the founders of TNA wrestling, and I always remember the story about fishing on the boat. And, you know, that's where most people most recently know of him, besides being the father of Jeff Jarrett. But, you know, you're talking 2005. You know, so it's been a good 18-plus years that Jerry Jarrett has been involved in wrestling, and most of it is behind the scenes. So for everyone online, you know, it's more of an education as far as what Jerry Jarrett has done. And my God, if you check out my This Week in Wrestling History episodes, more times than not, you will find Jerry Jarrett's stamp on a lot of those matches. You know, I used to, how many times did you hear me say in the past that at times Memphis wrestling was ECW before ECW, before it was even the 80s or the 90s? The Tupelo Concession Brawl, 1979, 1981, that, I mean, a lot of wrestlers got their start because of Jerry Jarrett, and not just getting the opportunity, but Jerry Jarrett believing in them. And, you know, I made this argument yesterday, or an opinion might be the better way to put it. You know, Jim Crockett, when you look at wrestling promoters in history, you know, Vince McMahon will always be at the top of that list. Number two, yeah, I could understand people saying Jim Crockett. But I think there is a good argument to say that Jerry Jarrett might have been more instrumental as far as the world of pro wrestling. I think he might have left pro wrestling in a much better place than the Crocketts. And I'm not saying that the Crocketts were, you know, negative or not good promoters. I'm saying that if you look at the tributes from Sean Waltman to Dutch Mantel, from the Honky Tonk Man to everyone else online, when the Crocketts, you know, when Jim Crockett, you know, and it was his time to go, you know, there was respect and appreciation given the opportunity, but Jerry Jarrett was a little bit different. You know, the wrestlers had more of a personal, you know, connection with Jerry Jarrett. I think he has revolutionized wrestling in a lot more ways. And when you look at his resume from Continental, you know, all the way down to TNA, man, definitely someone to be celebrated. And if you're not aware of Jerry Jarrett's history, it's a fun rabbit hole to get into. You know, even when you want to just look at random things about the Fabulous Freebirds in 79? It was either 79 or 81. But they wanted to come out to the theme Freebird, and wrestling theme music, it was not something that was even around at that time. You know, he was very much ahead of the game in a lot of ways. So, you know, I'm not going to read no wiki articles. I'm looking straight at you. I'm not looking at notes. So I just want to say rest in peace to Jerry Jarrett. 80 years old, very, very fulfilled life, man. You know, I'm sure a lot of people in the wrestling world are sad that he has passed on. But tell me if I'm going to live to be 80. Yeah, I'll take it. I'll take it. So rest in peace, Jerry Jarrett. Dynamite tonight. I don't know. They ran the table with babyfaces winning tonight. I don't know if you realize that. Every match had cake and ice cream. The babyfaces won. And are they really trying to tell us that Ruby Soho is caught in the middle between Jamie Hayter and Saraya? No, you're with us. No, you're with us. I don't know what to do. Come on. I mean, that's just awful. That is just awful. There's been nothing to allude that Ruby Soho is aligned to Saraya in any way. And even with these segments with Ruby crossing paths with Britt Baker last week, the week before, you know, there's dissension between Britt Baker. It's just, oh, my God. I don't know, man. I don't know. But, you know, something was lacking tonight. And I got news for you. Revolution? I'm a little surprised, man. Somebody pointed out to me today that I think less than 5,000 tickets have been sold for Revolution. I mean, MJF versus Bryan Danielson, is it going to be worth $60? No. No. I think we pretty much know there is no fucking way that MJF is dropping the title this soon. And if you remember my thumbnail from the summertime of 2022, we asked the question, is Bryan Danielson ever going to be AEW world champion before he leaves that company? I'm not so sure. I said it, 9 months ago? And I'll continue saying it again here. You know, it's going to be fun. Seeing him and, you know, going up with MJF is going to be fun. It's going to be 60 minutes of a wild ride. But in the end, it's like a Roman Reigns match. You know, title defense. We pretty much know the outcome. We just don't know how you get there. But with all due respect, you know, Moxley versus Hangman Page, Texas Deathmatch, you know, it feels like we've been watching Texas Deathmatches with Moxley on TV every single week. Page and Moxley one more time. I thought this feud was over with. Okay, they're going to do it again. I'm not complaining. It's going to be a good match. I'll explain why I'm saying it this way. Instead of just having the Acclaim versus the Gun straight up, they have to add two more tag teams to it. And they have to do battle royals and casino battle royals just to add the final two teams. And why not just do it straight up? You know, a lot of people feel that AEW made a mistake taking the belts off of the Acclaimed. So if the Acclaimed were to regain those championships at Revolution, why not just let it be a one-on-one match? It almost makes you feel like this is either being designed to cover up the Acclaimed getting pinned again, or maybe Revolution will be the pay-per-view where Billy Gunn ends up turning. So, and not for nothing, do you want to know the teams that are involved in the Battle Royal next week? And one of those teams will be part of this four-way at Revolution. Best Friends, The Butcher and the Blade, Daivari and Tony Nese, The Dark Order, The Lucha Bros, Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal, Angelo Parker and Matt Menard. You know, Lucha Bros obviously is our favorites. I don't see the Lucha Bros versus the Acclaimed versus the Guns unless there's going to be another team that could go toe-to-toe with the Lucha Bros. The Guns and the Acclaimed, you know, they're definitely future stars, big-time stars, and people love the Acclaimed right now, but they're not on the level of the Lucha Bros, not even close. So that's what we have to look for. And then the week after is the Casino Battle Royale. And we're probably going to get a lot of the same people involved in that again. And then we got Wardlow versus Samoa Joe for the TNT title. I don't know, man. Revolution feels like a $60 Dynamite. Am I off on this? I mean, honestly, as of right now, I wouldn't spend $60 on that. You know, something is really lacking. And maybe AEW's biggest problem is that they're giving almost pay-per-view quality lineups week after week after week after week on Dynamite. And when they go over to a pay-per-view where they want people to dish out hard, hard cash, you know, I mean, you could add a stipulation and make crazy shit, but I don't know. You know, it just feels like, you know, people are just getting numb. They're getting numb to, you know, the lack of rules. They're getting numb to the violence. Every week with Moxley, there's a beatdown and an attack down the rampway before the bell rings. We go to commercial, and then when we come back from commercial, the bell rings and the match is finally underway. You see that every single week. You know, you kind of like get numb to it. So I'm not really feeling this Revolution pay-per-view. And honestly, that's one of the reasons why I feel these Wednesday shows should only go an hour. Because you look at NXT, that can't draw 700,000 on a consistent basis. Sometimes they struggle at 600,000. And then AEW is only, what, 200,000 more? You know, you're just saying the same shit over and over every week. It gets a little tiresome. So, I don't know. Tonight's Dynamite, you know, I don't know. Feels like something was truly missing. Orange Cassidy, the acclaimed Billy Gunn, defeated Jeff Jarrett, Jay Lethal, Satnam Singh, and Sonjay Dutt to open it up. It was a comedy match. Fun match, nonetheless, but it was pretty much a comedy match. Tonight felt almost like a Rampage. I don't know if anybody felt that way. It felt like an extended Rampage, like a special two-hour edition of Rampage. Am I wrong? You know, and even with some of these segments, you know it's leading to a match. Come on. When Evil Uno went into the ring and went head-to-head, nose-to-nose with Moxley, staring and saying, seriously, be honest. Though a lot of you wouldn't admit it publicly. You didn't say to yourself, all right, they're probably setting up a match for either Rampage or next week's Dynamite. I mean, that's exact. Soon as I saw Evil, I'm not afraid of Moxley after all his fucking years. I'm like, they got to set up the Dynamite match because Moxley already fought tonight. With all due respect, do I give a shit that Moxley's going to take on Evil Uno next week? No, not me. But the end of the match was kind of funny. You know, the acclaimed, they do, it's similar to what the Dudleys used to do when Bubba Ray would hold the legs of the opponent, and then Devon would go stand on the middle rope, what's up? And then he would do the headbutt. Well, here they kind of like scissor and do the crotch. So originally Max Caster has Sonjay Dutt's legs up, and we think that Anthony Bowens is going to jump off the rope. He's knocked to the floor. So Billy Gunn climbs the middle rope. We think Billy Gunn's going to do it, and he gets knocked to the floor. Then Orange Cassidy goes to the middle rope. He's going to do it. He gets knocked to the floor. I'm like, all right, enough already. Well, Anthony Bowens finally gets back in the ring. He nails Sonjay Dutt in the crown jewel. And 1, 2, 3, the match is over. Funny thing is, again, at this point, the Guns are staring on the acclaimed staring them down. And I'm thinking, okay, rematch Revolution. Maybe they'll right the wrong. Feels way too premature for the Guns unless Billy turns on the acclaimed, which needs to happen soon. You know, but no, we find out later on it's going to be a four-way. John Moxley and Claudio Castagnoli over Roosh and Preston Vance. Same template as what we've been seeing with Moxley matches. A brawl before the match starts. We go to commercial. We come back. We get the bell rings. During the match, Hangman Page is shown watching on the monitor in the back. And yeah, they do the same thing WWE does, because if they stand in front of the monitor, we don't get to see the monitor. So they always got to stand on the side like this. So they show Page a couple of times. Moxley ends up getting a chain, chokes out Preston Vance for the victory. And then they put the camera back on Hangman Page in the back, and he gets attacked by Kip Sabian, the Butcher, and the Blade. Kip Sabian has a match with Hangman Page later on. So they attack Hangman Page, Dark Order, like, you okay? Wardlow gets interviewed by Jim Ross. Is it just me, my friends? Jim Ross looks like he lost a little bit of weight. I think he's lost a little bit of weight. Jim Ross, yeah, definitely losing a few pounds. And I'm not saying that as a negative. You know, Jim Ross, you know, dropping a little bit of weight. Wardlow, you know, when I first saw that segment, I thought it was a little tacky because it was forced. Because Jim Ross, you know, he opens up, and I actually rewound it twice. I rewound it twice to get the exact phrase that Jim Ross said. And Jim Ross opened up the interview by saying he doesn't think that he's ever seen anything more shocking than the night Wardlow lost the TNT Championship. Now, just think of that line. Think of JR's commentary career. You know, it's like you're already like rubbing people the wrong way with a dumb comment like that. But he says that, and then he goes on to say, you know, you and Samoa Joe must have shared some very private moments when you were a team. Where does Wardlow go from here now? And I'm like, are we watching a Lifetime channel? You share private moments? How's about, like, you know, Wardlow, he took your title, he took your hair. What's next? No, I'm sure you shared some private moments. So Wardlow gives us a private moment. It's a true story. So then I started buying in, and Wardlow tells a story about when he was 8 years old, you know, that his dad pretty much was non-existent in his life. And later on, when he became a young adult, got into wrestling, his father came back into his life. By then, he had stage 4 cancer. And, you know, they finally bonded, you know, pretty much at the end of his life. And, you know, Wardlow says that when cancer took away his dad's hair, and his father had full beard, kind of looked a little bit like Macho Man back then. But when he took his dad's hair and the beard and everything, Wardlow, in tribute to his father, grew hair, grew a beard. So the story is that when Samoa Joe cut Wardlow's hair, it's not just cutting the hair, it's why Wardlow had grown the hair. So because of that, Wardlow's going to kick his ass. Now, if I want to be a dick, I could say, Wardlow, why don't you grow it back? What do you wait? Why do you keep cutting it? But no, it was a good segment. Wardlow, you know, it's funny because you got so much clarity with Wardlow in this one interview tonight. And look at the Book of Hobbs. Some of you don't like me, but you still tune in. You have to admit, we were fucking right. 1,000% about the Hobbs stuff. The Book of Hobbs, walking the streets of Cali, Compton, wherever it is, it fucking led to nowhere. He unfortunately stopped at a health food store, bought a protein shake, and he's been oh, but he was on Rampage. He was on Dark. Oh, I can't wait to get into the Athena stuff later. And it's not even about Black History Month. It's not even about that. Oh, I have live screen capture. I got to show you something later. But and it involves me, by the way. And yes, if you saw the thumbnail for tonight's show, we will talk about Conan's comments about Takeshka. A lot of people, especially on Patreon yesterday, that was the most popular question asked to me over and over and over again. Hey, DT, I know your past relationship with Conan. Let's see you defend this one. I got news for you. I think people may be a little bit surprised what I have to say about Conan's remarks. So we'll get into that in a little bit. So anyway, Mark Briscoe over Josh Woods. Early in the match, Daivari and Tony Nese tried to get involved. They obviously were not successful. Lucha Bros came out, negated them. Mark Briscoe, listen, man, you know, of course, the tag team with his brother, God rest his soul, you know, that's why Mark Briscoe wasn't featured on AEW television. But the more people see Mark Briscoe wrestling singles, he holds his own, man. He holds his own. Now, you know, contrary to a lot of websites out there that say that the Ring of Honor tag team titles are vacant right now, no, that's not true. This will be addressed. It has to be addressed. You know, Mark Briscoe, you know, even though we had the obvious tragedy, you know, the tag team title situation has to be addressed. What they do, you know, I personally think, because a few of you have asked me, DT, what would you do? I think Mark Briscoe continues defending the tag titles on his own. On his own. Yes, he will ultimately lose because a tag team should dominate a singles wrestler. But, you know, I almost feel like, you know, not even just the fact that it's too soon. Look, you lose a relative or you lose a tag team partner, you know, at some point, he's good at team with someone else. You know, I mean, I don't want to use real, like, life situations with marriage, but people have been married. They lose their spouse. Spouse dies, whatever circumstances they are. And sometimes someone remarries. That's not an evil thing. Mark Briscoe would be doing nothing wrong if he were to tag with someone else in the future. But right now, though, I think Mark Briscoe keeps defending the titles on his own, gets a couple of victories, and at some point, obviously, you know, he has to give. But, you know, listen, you know, a lot of people out there, I've seen both sides of the argument. Like, Mark Briscoe, why is he wrestling so quick? He, you know, his brother just passed. And then the other side of it is, like, wow, that's cool that Mark Briscoe, you know, loves wrestling this much that he's right back in it. People grieve differently. You know, a lot of people, you know, want to go back into the routine. It helps with their therapy. It helps with their sanity. It helps with keeping busy and doing the things that, you know, and I didn't know Jay Briscoe, didn't know him, you know, but you almost get that feeling that Mark Briscoe say, you know, Jay would have wanted me to still continue wrestling, wrestle for us. You know, that's the vibe I get. So I have zero issue with Mark Briscoe. I'm just happy that he's on AEW television. Very happy that he's on AEW television. So he beat Josh Woods tonight. Adam Cole, they did a sit-down interview with him and Renee Paquette. Problem is, doesn't feel like that he's going to return a Revolution. The announcement in the ring, which was, what, a month ago, might have been a little bit premature. But the most important thing is that Adam Cole is healthy. A lot of the post-concussion complications, symptoms, a lot of the trauma seem to have subsided. So as a human being who is a big fan of Adam Cole as well, take as much time as you need. Some people think he is going to wrestle at Revolution. It's only 2 weeks away. So I think maybe you hold off on him. But looks good. You know, looks healthy, looks happy. And, you know, we continue monitoring the progress of Adam Cole and returning to the ring. MJF, you know, it was funny. When MJF cut his promo tonight in the ring, it almost felt like WarnerMedia may have told AEW, you know, cut down on the cursing a little bit. Because MJF was using lines that he would usually use in expletive. One example was that he said that Bryan Danielson is a worthless sack of trash. I mean, if I had a dollar every time MJF said that someone's a worthless sack of shit, you know, I'd be able to buy a bottled water right now instead of having a glass of water. So it felt like they toned back MJF tonight with no expletives until Christopher Daniels comes out. Christopher Daniels comes out at the request of MJF, and the story is that MJF was going to pay Daniels a boatload of money to throw shade at Bryan Danielson. Daniel says the old Christopher Daniels would have done that, but I'm not, you know, that person anymore. He gets into MJF's face and he's talking about, you know, a lot of Ring of Honor mentions tonight. I don't know if anybody noticed that. A lot of Ring of Honor. You know, talking about the early days of Bryan Danielson, you know, when Bryan Danielson kicked him in the face way back when he knew he was going to be a huge star. Talks about tournaments he won. If there was no Ring of Honor, there may have been no AEW. And if there was no AEW, there may have been no MJF. And Daniels looks at MJF and he says that Bryan Danielson, and I quote, is going to knock your dick in the dirt. Dick was not censored. So, you know, if they gave him a memo, yeah, let's use the word memo. I almost said memoriam. They gave him a memo, like cut down on the expletives. I don't think Danielson got the memo. But at some point, Christopher Daniels calls MJF a fraud, and that was enough. MJF knocks the mic away from Daniels. We think we might get a little physicality, and sure enough, MJF puts the salt of the earth on Daniels. Bryan Danielson comes out, makes the save, and this is to lead to their match in, what, about 10 days for Revolution. The match that I was very surprised how one-sided it was, Jungle Boy Jack Perry over Brian Cage, in the last offensive surge that Jack Perry did, man, I mean, that just felt like a squash at the very end. Even though Brian Cage did a lot of offense early on, but that last set of moves that Jack Perry hit and Cage just pinned at three, I was like, whoa. Remember what we said last week? We're happy that Brian Cage is on TV, and it's cool to see that he's getting a extra time, but they ain't equating to wins. You know, it's nice to see someone on TV, but when they're basically just being fed to other people, you know, sure felt that way tonight with Brian Cage. But the news, after Jungle Boy wins, he goes down the rampway, Christian's entrance music hits. He comes out, knocks out Jungle Boy, had a sling on, removes the sling. Christian is apparently just about ready to return. And will we see Christian versus Jungle Boy at Revolution? Could happen. Definitely could happen. Problem is, you know, Jungle Boy, the story is that he wants to go for a title. You know, you want him sidetracked now with Christian Cage? By the way, where's Luchasaurus? So, Hangman Page over Kip Sabian. After the match is over, Moxley comes out, gets in Hangman Page's face, says, no chance you'll ever beat me again, let it go. And Moxley getting loud chants from the crowd. Crowd was strongly behind Moxley in this one. Hangman Page challenges him to a last man standing match at Revolution. And Mox calls him the EMO cowboy, that you have no friends, you know, to try to talk you out of it. Here comes the Dark Order. And the forced Evil Uno in Moxley's face. And as I said earlier, we're like, oh, okay, there's the setup for the match. And sure enough, we find out they're going to face each other on Dynamite next week. And the main event tonight, Ruby Soho beating Britt Baker and Toni Storm in a three-way. Saraya was outside the ring. Jamie Hayter was outside the ring. They got involved in the match. One spot that was kind of stupid, we had Toni Storm in the corner. We had Toni Storm in the corner. And on the opposite side of the ring is Britt Baker. Britt Baker is laid out in a position where you would get a stink face, you know, or if X-Pac was still around, get the Bronco Buster. But what Toni Storm does is she turns around on the opposite corner. Saraya sprays the green spray paint on Toni Storm's ass, say it bluntly. And I'm like, okay, you know, is she going to now, like, go in the opposite corner and do the stink face to Britt Baker to put the green paint in her face? No, she just runs to the opposite side of the corner and hits her with her ass. And you look at Britt Baker and there was no paint whatsoever. It just looked, I don't know if they practiced this before. Like, hey, what would happen by the time she ran across the ring with the air and the wind were running? It dried the paint probably. Now Toni Storm is like, look, you fucked up my tights. Now there's green paint on it. Didn't do nothing. But, you know, in the end, Saraya gets involved. Jamie Hayter gets involved. And this allowed Ruby Soho to get the pin. And, you know, as I said at the opening of this show, you know, after the pin is over, Saraya hits the ring and Jamie Hayter hits the ring. And you hear them audibly like, you're with us. No, you're with us. And I'm like, oh. What the fuck are they talking about? There's been nothing the last couple of weeks where there was any hint that Ruby would be aligning, you know, with Saraya. And it's just, I don't know. It was just really like, I mean, is Ruby going to have to eventually decide which side she's on? I don't know. It just felt like it was really lacking this week. Now, on Rampage Friday, which starts at 7 p.m., by the way. mark your calendars if you're planning on watching it. You're going to have Ricky Starks versus Daniel Garcia. And by the way, Ricky Starks versus Jericho is pretty much a lock for Revolution. Jericho cutting a promo tonight saying there'll never be a match with you and me. Yeah, it's going to lead to a match at Revolution. Probably Jericho will get involved in the Starks-Garcia match for Rampage, and that should set up the Revolution match. It's just a dumb match to have at Rampage because he just did the gauntlet thing. They just fucking did the gauntlet thing. I mean, the whole idea of the gauntlet was, okay, it's over, move on. And now they're having a match, whatever. The Elite, gotta love those that trio's title run so far. They're facing AR Fox and Top Flight once again. We have Vert Vixen taking on Jade Cargill, who will soon to be 51-0, and Swerve Strickland versus Dustin Rhodes. Will we get the return of Keith Lee at Rampage? Possibly. Maybe. Maybe not. You almost feel like Keith Lee's got to return. I mean, you know, the concrete to the chest, you know, how bad does that make Keith Lee look that he was so injured from a, the guy is a fucking truck. The guy's the size of a building. I mean, you would think you send a block over the stomach, you know, you, maybe you do the opposite, like this guy's superhuman. Not that he no-sells it, but, you know, to be out for 2 months or whatever it is, 6 weeks, you know. All right. Yes, I did see the House of Black flash on the screen during the Elite segment. By this point now, it's kind of goofy. And when you wish a death sentence on everyone and 2 months later, you still haven't done anything, it's kind of like goofy, to be honest with you. That's just my honest opinion. All right. Before we get into NXT, and I got to talk about that match that people... I saw Sam Roberts write it yesterday. And I like Sam Roberts. I mean, a lot of people wrote it yesterday. But I saw that, and to me, it's like the exclamation point. And I'm sure by now a lot of you have realized this. But there are people on social media to get more visible, they will write things that are just stupid, that are not going to happen, that make no sense, but they do it just to garner a reaction from all you. All right. And I might as well just bring it up now. Yesterday on NXT, you know, Grayson Waller, he loses to Tyler Bate. Grayson Waller is not happy with the referee's work in this match, and he gets into it with Shawn Michaels again in the back. And right after it happens, you could look on Twitter, see it for yourself. I see Sam Roberts write, WWE, please give us Shawn Michaels versus Grayson Waller at Stand and Deliver. I want to take like a bottle and break it over my head right now. I am a huge fan of DX. I loved Shawn Michaels' work. Shawn Michaels is one of the greatest of our generation. After Saudi Arabia, and it's not even that, the Shawn Michaels that we see now is not the Heartbreak Kid. This is a, you know, 50-something-year-old executive, you know, who helps the stars of tomorrow. This is not someone that I want to see return to the ring, you know, receding hairline, looking old, you know, okay, can do a super, because the problem is Grayson Waller would have to water down his whole in-ring repertoire so Shawn Michaels and him could be on the same pace. And I'm reading this on social media over and over and over again, and I'm saying to myself, these people in their right mind cannot actually be like, please, not just, hey, match idea. How do you all feel if Grayson Waller took on Shawn Michaels? No, no, please, WWE, give us this match. And I'm like, am I in like a parallel universe? Am I in Bizarro Land? Tell me in 2023 how Shawn Michaels versus Grayson Waller is a good idea. And it started like really cementing that exclamation point in my head that I've been saying for so long now. These people write dumb shit on Twitter because they know they'll get 500 responses to it. You know, there are still morons that are still writing, you know, unpopular opinion. I think Sami Zayn could very well beat Roman Reigns Saturday for the... And you know it ain't happening. When Bianca Belair on Raw took on Becky Lynch and Bayley, and if either one of those girls beat Bianca, they get a spot in the chamber, and you know they're not going to take this away from Asuka. No one there in their right mind thought that Bayley or Becky was going to win that match on Monday, but yet people still threw it out there. Wow, what a fucking dumb idea. Why the fuck would you fuck with the Elimination Chamber? Fuck. We already have the six fucking people. Why do you got to take the attention away from fucking Asuka? And I'm like, you can't actually think that one of those two women are going to beat Bianca. And it isn't. And it's like, are you that brain dead? Are you that dense? Are you that stupid? Or are you just doing that because you'll get 500 people to respond to you? Half of them will be like, yeah, that's fucking stupid. Why, WWE? They're fucking stupid. Leave it alone. This is Asuka's moment. Blah, 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 blah. And then you get the other people say, well, you know, just let it play out. This is why I don't interact on social media like I used to. It's just it can't be that stupid. So, no, with all due respect, I don't want to see Grayson Waller versus Shawn Michaels in 2023. The only scenario that I would want to see those two fight is in the WWE 2K23 video game. That's it. Shawn Michaels, and I said this yesterday on Patreon, I don't think Shawn Michaels would insult NXT by going on one of their events and possibly stinking up the joint beyond belief. Saudi Arabia, hey, look, he hadn't been around in years and years and years. It turned out to be a disaster. All right, okay, you let that go. But now him being, you know, the new uncle for the NXT roster, I just, no. It's not happening. It is not happening. So, but the idea that people kept pushing this yesterday, I'm like, these people can't be serious. But they were serious. And that's pretty disturbing, to say the least. So, other match results from NXT yesterday. Tiffany Stratton over Thea Hale. Axiom over Damon Kemp. Wes Lee with the open challenge beating Von Wagner. And I loved Mr. Stone and Von Wagner, that Von Wagner's, you know, biggest feat is having a meme that says, come Tuesday. Come Tuesday. I fucking love it. I love it. Even though I'm sick of seeing that. There's a guy that's, I'm a friend with the show. He doesn't do it anymore, but for about 12 to 15 weeks straight, there'd always be an email in my email box. Hey, DT, did you see this? And I open up the email, come Tuesday. Hey, DT, you know, look, check out who I met yesterday. I click on email. It's the video. Come Tuesday. Hey, DT, you're going to do a show tonight? And I click on it, come Tuesday. And every week, there'd be a come Tuesday in my email box. All right. Charlie Dempsey over Hank Walker. And Roxanne Perez and Miko, however you want to pronounce it, Satomura. They beat Katana Chance and Caden Carter. And after the match is over, we learned that Roxanne and Satomura will be facing each other at NXT Roadblock March 7th. That is a Tuesday. So come Tuesday, March 7th, Miko Satomura will be taking on Roxanne Perez. Obviously, this is to have someone who is very, very experienced to go at it with Roxanne Perez. There will be nothing but signs of respect during that match. After the match is over, we'll probably have an asshole show up and basically try to get involved with both women. And, you know, we quickly will forget that Roxanne Perez beat Miko Satomura. But, you know, I'm looking forward to it. Definitely looking forward to that. That's a decent match. Now, something else happened yesterday on NXT. Something we've been talking about for about a good 6-7 weeks now. And what we've talked about is the dwindling fan reaction in a positive way for Bron Breakker. We have pointed out many, many times in the last 2 months that the ratings for Bron Breakker on NXT have been dwindling. Even when he's advertised for title matches, quarter hours, Bron Breakker for about 2 months has been stuck in the mud with NXT. It is time for Bron Breakker to graduate. And yesterday on NXT, the NXT fans were giving it to Bron Breakker. Now, if you go on social media, you can identify very quickly those who do not watch NXT on a regular basis. Because there were a lot of people yesterday acting shocked. Shocked. Oh, those naive, that very, very, you know, like, oh, they'll turn on someone in a blink of an eye, NXT audience. No. This has been building for months. Bron Breakker has done it all in NXT. And the fans are satisfied. You know, oh, ma, again, we're going to have Bron Breakker for dinner again? Come on, we had Bron Breakker last week. Come on, we've had Bron Breakker for like six times. People are just tired of Bron Breakker being the cornerstone for NXT. Carmelo Hayes is the next in line. And yesterday when Bron Breakker came out, crowd was not feeling it. It's not that they're... Listen, when Bron Breakker loses that championship, I will bet you anything you want to bet. Stand and deliver. When Bron Breakker loses that championship to Carmelo Hayes, when Bron Breakker gets up to leave the ring, everybody in that building will stand up and give Bron Breakker all the love, respect, and appreciation for what he has done for NXT for the time that he has been on that roster. This is not all fans just being shallow and just turning on. No, it's time. It's time. And what they tried to do yesterday is they're setting up a match next week against Jinder Mahal for the title. Now, Jinder Mahal, a lot of people like to boo him. Well, don't be surprised if Jinder Mahal gets more cheers next week than you would expect. Especially if you don't watch NXT on a regular basis, you might be a little surprised what you see next week. You might even call it Bizarro Land. But this is designed to have a, you know, clear-cut, established heel who knows how to work the crowd too. Jinder Mahal is going to work that crowd next week, try to get them all against him. And Jinder Mahal is a veteran, so Jinder Mahal knows what he's doing. He's going to do this to help Bron Breakker. Thing is, though, is it's going to be a very long, you know, 6-7 weeks, whatever it is between now and Stand and Deliver for Bron Breakker. And yesterday, you're pretty much seeing the final chapter of Bron Breakker in NXT. And yeah, we'll see what happens. But Bron Breakker, you know, the fans are not being fickle. They're not turning on one of the top stars of tomorrow. They're basically just saying like, okay, we've had enough. Give us Carmelo Hayes. And yeah, they listen, Leno's fans are there every single week. They support it. You look at those ratings. Now, this week, their ratings were pretty good. This week, they went up almost 13% in the ratings. You know, that's good 80, 90,000 viewers. Now, on Monday, we'll do the whole ratings breakdown like we did this past Monday. And thank you, everyone, for the feedback. You all loved it. You know, we will definitely talk about NXT with a little bit more breakdown. We'll have the quarter hours by then as well. But, you know, you look at NXT, you know, that rating, what did they score? They scored 640,000 viewers this week. 640. I think last week it was like 562. So they had a nice jump this week. And, you know, props to them. Now, MLW, yeah. You knew it. You knew it. MLW is going to be like Impact Lite. It's quickly going to turn into Impact Lite. And when Impact Wrestling doesn't even do 100,000 viewers anymore, being Impact Lite is not going to help. MLW, they scored 73,000 viewers yesterday, which is down from their debut of 79,000. A lot of people out there expected the rating to go up because not everybody realized they debuted on Reels last week. They had a week to now prepare to watch it on Reels, and the rating went down. Doesn't help when a lot of the footage you saw yesterday was recorded in October. October! They're putting on TV yesterday. And the matches they put on yesterday was Calvin Tankman over Willie Mack, Taya Valkyrie over Zoe Sky to retain the MLW featherweight title, and Real One, who is the former Enzo Amore, over Mance Warner in a street fight. And many of you are going to stay up to 10 o'clock on a Tuesday night, come Tuesday, and see that. Nothing against the stars, but I'm not feeling it, man. We're 1 week in, and they're already dropping in the ratings. I'm telling you, if they go below New Japan, you know, you'll see them be moved to another night. Come Tuesday. By the way, yesterday or Monday, we talked about the MLW lawsuit being dropped by the court. Okay, you know me. We tell it like it is. A lot of people out there tried to make you think that MLW had a legit shot at suing WWE. Let me give you an update on it. The case is pretty much over. It's on life support right now. Just to give you, like, the cliff notes, the simple, easy English understanding explanation of this, they could not prove that WWE violated any antitrust laws. They did not show any proof or examples that WWE prevented them from trying to work out deals with Tubi or any of these other places. They failed to prove that in court. And what happened is the court, WWE in January said to the court, look, they made an accusation. There's nothing to substantiate it. Why are you wasting our time and all of our money in court? And the court said, yeah, you know what, WWE, you're right. And this 21-day window that MLW has, if you look up the court system, especially in California, you look up the court system, you have a right to appeal. You have a right to, you know, fulfill, you know, maybe something that was missing. If you forget to submit a form, if you do something technical, they will give you the opportunity. So they didn't give MLW any special treatment like, okay, we'll give you 3 weeks to amend your complaint. How does MLW amend the complaint? No, well, they didn't really violate antitrust laws. They were just being dicks towards us. How do you amend the complaint? You accuse WWE of things. You have no basis of it. How do you amend that? But people are like, oh, Court Bauer made a statement that our lawyers are working on to amend this. Amend what? It's done. They have 21 days. And every day that goes by, it's one step closer of this shit being over with. I want MLW to do better, you know, but you just look at this. What this was, MLW was hoping that WWE was going to settle. The WWE, you know, unfortunately, like I said, you know, on the other show, unfortunately, Court Bauer doesn't have a nice set of tits and a nice ass and was not attractive to Vince McMahon. In fact, well, no, I can't say that because I heard Court Bauer is so happy. So we're not going to make any accusations for Court Bauer. But the thing is that they thought that WWE was going to settle. In my opinion, you sue WWE, you make it sound like a really, really wild accusation. There's a lot of people out there that don't like Vince McMahon and WWE, so they will back MLW on this. They'll make it seem much more serious than what it is. And maybe MLW will strike gold and WWE will offer a settlement. Here's $1 million. Leave us alone. MLW for $1 million, they could run shows for a couple of months, maybe half a year. So you look at the production, you know, I mean, you probably could get it on Craigslist or Angie. You probably could go on Angie. You look at the production, MLW, it's not bad. You could probably go on Angie's list and it's like, I need a production crew to record MLW. So this case is on life support. They got 21 days. They're going to try to put a stay somewhere. The lawyers are going to have to fucking shit out like a four-leaf clover. They're going to have to shit out something like a Hail Mary. And it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So, all right, let's start bringing this home. I want to show you something. All right, let me show you something. You get a kick out of this. All right. I won't be able to see the chat room for a few seconds, but We'll talk about Conan and Takeshka, and then we'll talk about Athena in AEW television. Let's talk first about Takeshka. All right, last week, Takeshka put on a great performance, lost to MJF. During the match, which took place in El Paso, Texas, Takeshka climbed the top rope and did the Eddie Guerrero frog splash with the mannerisms. And Conan went on his Keep It 100 podcast and had some interesting comments about it. Now, I have the audio clip, but I don't know how they deal with people using their clips. I'm friends with some of the people behind the scenes, so I'm sure I would not have any issue to it. I do have a 3-second clip that I will play in a few moments, but I do have the actual quote that Conan said, and I have it on the screen right now. Now, for everyone out there that sees my Photoshop job, putting a sombrero on Takeshka with the mustache, and this is the, you know, maracas, and yes, I even photo, you know, I even put Mexico on his bicep, you know, tape or whatever. Conan said this on his podcast, quote, "Well, Takeshka, he's got heat with me, and he's lucky I wasn't in El Paso, because when he went up and did the fucking Eddie Guerrero thing for the frog splash, you're not Mexican, dude. I don't care. Stick to your nationality." It's exactly, quote, unquote, what Conan said. Now, Conan got a lot of criticism online for that remark. Some wrestlers stepped up, threw a lot of shade towards Conan. Miro is probably the one that stood out the most and said that Conan couldn't last 10 seconds with Takeshka right now. And this prompted Conan to respond to Miro and said something like, he said, "Worry about your career. That seems to be the bigger joke here." Conan claims now that what he said was a joke. Now, yesterday on Patreon, I played the 2-minute clip. And I don't want to play it here because their shows are featured on YouTube and I don't want to have any issue possibly with copyright. But I listened to the actual clip. And I know about 90% of people online didn't bother listening to the clip. I was waiting for giggles. I was waiting for, I'm only kidding. I was waiting to hear it, you know, like everybody just chuckling, like, you know, and he's just like, I'm only kidding. Because we have seen many wrestlers over the years do the Eddie shimmy, do the Eddie Guerrero mannerisms with the frog splash. And a lot of them were not Mexican. I don't understand why Takeshka doing a frog splash, paying tribute to Eddie Guerrero, would even be the focus of a joke. Now, I don't have the person's name. Nobody yesterday could give it to me. And honestly, I didn't bother looking today, so that's probably on me. But there was someone else besides Disco Inferno with Conan on this podcast. And I honestly think whoever this person was said even worse than Conan. Because whoever their co-host was, and hopefully it's not a friend of mine, I just didn't recognize his voice, but he said that when he saw Takeshka do the Eddie Guerrero frog splash, he said that he looked at either his partner or his girlfriend or his friend and said, "Why is this Japanese guy doing Eddie frog splash?" And I'm like, you know, that's 10 times. Why? I could see if you're just saying, why is this wrestler randomly doing this? You're in fucking El Paso. You have a beloved Eddie Guerrero. But this person specifically said, why is this Japanese guy doing the Eddie mannerisms? So I got to be honest with you. I did not take it as a joke when I heard it. Now, Conan, in his defense, can be very dry with his jokes on his shows. Like, sometimes you can't tell if he's joking or if he's not joking, and a lot of times he is only joking. This, though, I don't know what to make of it. But I will say this. I'm going to play you 5 seconds of something else Conan said yesterday, which, in my opinion, made me question if this was really a joke, because Conan doesn't see yet what everybody else sees, or a lot of people see with Takeshka. As I've said before, I don't think Takeshka is ever going to headline an AEW pay-per-view. You know, he's going to be one of those beloved wrestlers that everybody likes, you know, but, you know, there is a ceiling as far as AEW goes, and I just don't see him breaking through that ceiling. It's just my honest opinion. But he thinks Bandido is a better wrestler than Takeshka. And Bandido is on, isn't he on AEW's roster? So look, Conan believing that Bandido is better than Takeshka, I do believe there's a lot of people that would agree with that. But he said this right after the comment of Bandido. Listen to this closely.
Bandito's better than him. And I don't hear all the about Bandido. And this isn't a racial thing either. Now, the Eddie Guerrero, this thing, that's a racial thing.
Why would you say that the Eddie Guerrero thing is a racial thing? Comparing Takeshka to Bandido is not a racial thing, but a Japanese guy does the Eddie Guerrero frog splash in a racial thing. I don't know. When I heard it, I honestly didn't think it was a joke. I think the backlash afterwards, you know, look, I give Conan credit that he owned up to it and told everyone that he was only kidding. And I know what some of you are going to say. Oh, that's a cop-out. He got caught, so now he's backtracking. He said, oh, I was only joking around. I tell you honestly, I thought about that, and I said to myself, you know what? What if he would have stood by it and said, listen, guys, you know, to me, if he stood by the remark, I think that would be even more, you know, powerful than trying to write it off as, oh, I'm only kidding. I didn't mean it. You know what I'm saying? Like, the fact that he's saying that it's a joke, I personally think if Conan thought it was racial, I want everybody to remember this, because I think majority of you out there will agree with me on this, even if you don't say it publicly. Conan's one of those types out there that he says what he means and he means what he says. And if he really believes that this is a racial thing, he ain't one to backtrack. You know what I mean? Like, he says a lot of things that pisses off a lot of people, and he stands by it. He does not waver. That's why I believe him when he says it's a joke. It was a bad taste. It was in bad taste. And it wasn't a joke that worked. I believe that he was joking. But it was just a very bad take on it, because it wasn't humorous. It wasn't funny. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't spark laughs. And here's the most important part of it. If you go seek out the clip, listen to his co-host. I don't know his name, and no one in the chat room appears to know either. But listen to his co-host, because right after that, his co-host says, yeah, I looked at, you know, my friend, and I was like, why is this Japanese person? So was he joking too? Was everybody just cracking bad jokes for 5 minutes? I don't know. I don't know. I give Conan the benefit of doubt that he was joking, but I don't know why that would have even been brought up in the first place. So, no, I really think he was being lighthearted about it. You know, like, why is this Japanese guy doing the Eddie Guerrero thing, this Mexican? You know, like, I get it, because of, you know, his heritage and, you know, the wrestling and where they come from and the relationship. But it's a joke that no one else, put it this way, maybe Conan got the joke. Maybe his co-host got the joke. Maybe some people in Lucha Libre would have gotten the joke. But for 90% of us out there, we didn't get the joke. So I don't know what was in here or in here with him. But, you know, I take it as fact, because he said it. I don't believe every single thing that he or anyone else says, but I'm saying this for the 10th time. It was a stupid joke. It was unnecessary. You may not like Takeshka, and you may think there are other wrestlers that are much better than Takeshka that are not getting opportunity, and that's anybody's right to say. To turn around and throw shade that Takeshka is doing something wrong Why would you even perceive it of being something wrong to crack it as a joke? Like, why was it such a big deal that a Japanese wrestler did an Eddie Guerrero move? A lot of wrestlers have done Eddie Guerrero moves to pay tribute. And we don't ever hear anybody say, well, that person's Irish, and that person is Italian, and that person is black, and that person is this. He's not Mexican. She's not Mexican. We've had women doing the Eddie Guerrero mannerisms, and nobody says a thing about it. So I just thought it was unnecessary. So I'm not sticking up. I'm just giving you my honest take on it. So before we get out of here, I got to show you something. You take it however you want to take it. You know, Tony Khan was just on a podcast. And I have the notes here. I'm not going to get into the whole comment. He was on the Dan Le Batard show. And he's talking about how the wrestling business is very dirty. And he says that there is a real war going on between AEW and WWE. And he says that he truly believes that AEW and WWE hate each other. But it makes compelling TV. And honestly, what I just went through with this Athena stuff pretty much cements my take on this. Tony Khan needs AEW to be confrontational. Tony Khan needs AEW to be the renegade. Tony Khan needs AEW to be that raw alternative that is disliked and people always trying to hurt. You think back of Cody Rhodes with the sledgehammer to Triple H. Like, they need this to be a war. Because WWE, with all due respect, with the revenue, is all the way up here and AEW is all the way over here. And the more Tony Khan can convince his fans that, you know, it's a war, there's this anger towards WWE that is unnecessary. We just had the tragic death of Jay Briscoe, and everybody in the wrestling world came together to show love. Whenever we see the holidays, we see wrestlers from AEW and WWE dining together, partying together, going to amusement parks together, going to charities together. You know, who actually has this deep disdain for WWE and for AEW? And this carries over online, because what they do is whenever somebody complains about AEW, for whatever it is, there are people ready to throw it back in your face. And this is all at the direction of Tony Khan. And when the scrum happened and CM Punk had the fight, and a lot of people were playing like, wow, I really feel bad for Tony Khan because he looks like he's a deer in headlights, that he doesn't have control of this. You know, I think back to when they first debuted and Cody with the sledgehammer to the throne. And even Cody just talked about it with Ariel Helwani, you know, about the hustle and all this other stuff. You know, the mindset from day one is confrontation. And whenever you make a comment that is negative towards AEW, now for Tony Khan, it's somebody with a blue check mark or somebody in pro wrestling. If Bischoff says something, if Vince Russo says something, if Cornette says, well, he may not have the balls for Cornette because Cornette's got an insanely large audience. But if somebody in pro wrestling that makes a dig towards Tony Khan, there's the confrontation. There's the remark. There's this, there's that. For fans, they're not going to have that confrontation with wrestlers. The fans that want that confrontation also, the only people they're going to be able to do it to is other fans. So, with that setup, this was a tweet that I posted last week. Now, for those with audio only, it was a screenshot from the last time that Athena was on AEW Dynamite. It was October of last year. And all I wrote, I didn't write nothing about Black History Month. I didn't write anything about the women's movement. I didn't write anything about hypocrisy. All I wrote was this: Athena hasn't been featured on AEW Dynamite for over 4 months, and only twice on AEW Rampage since late August. Just saying. It's all I did. That is all I wrote. Didn't write, shame on you, Tony. Shame on this. That's unacceptable. That's all I wrote. Nothing threatening. Pointing out that she has not been on AEW television in all this time. Because, again, there is a big difference between AEW YouTube and AEW television. I don't think AEW YouTube inked a $144 million deal with AEW. They did it with television. Television and, you know, that leads to pay-per-view. You're not going to put someone on pay-per-view that hasn't been on TV in months unless it's their spectacular return after injury, like Adam Cole, which I don't know is going to happen, or a surprise, someone that's not in the company. You're not going to take someone that's been off TV for 4 or 5 months and then just suddenly announce them for a pay-per-view. People are like, why? So that's all I posted. My friends, for those with video, you're not looking at a picture right now. You're actually looking at my Twitter, okay? I want you to see the responses that I got about this tweet, all right? I want you to see. Now, I'm going to skip past my comment up here. We'll go back to that comment. But I want to read this. Now, I'm not going to mention the people's names, but I want to read this to you because I want you to see not only the hypocrisy, but the anger and the confrontation that comes back. And a lot of these people are not people who follow me on social media. All right. So I said, she hasn't been on TV. Here's the responses I got. In order, neither is Serena Deeb or 70% of the women's roster. Serena Deeb hasn't been on TV as well. And she's one of the best workers. I was hoping they would build to Athena versus Hayter Revolution. Okay, Siphon, that person actually agreed with me. All right, I have no idea Deeb was still there. Damn, that's disappointing. Damn, for real, never noticed that. All right, here's where it goes down the off the rails, everyone. She defends her title on Dark. She's been on Dark Elevation, building to a Yuka Sakazaki versus Athena feud for the title. And nothing was lost. She's no draw. She's a game changer. I don't think they care about women's wrestling except a couple of them. This is a good thing. I didn't even remember Abaddon was on the payroll. I've been told she changed the game. DT, you're a great guy, but you're all over the place. You were complaining that there was too much Ring of Honor on TV around that time, which I agreed with you. Athena is involved in a Ring of Honor program. Is she above Ring of Honor? Yes. Should you be surprised TK is sticking to his word? No. I want you to remember that phrase, sticking to his word. Sticking to his word what? That Ring of Honor people only get to be in Ring of Honor? Hold that thought, everyone. It gets better. It gets really, really off the rails. They have her on Dark and Elevation now. That's where she defends her title most weeks. I'm guessing it's their way to testing if Ring of Honor title matches will gain eyes prior to Honor Club. Like, she's defended that title 5 times since winning it. Some people thought the banner was recent. She's going to be a Ring of Honor talent. I didn't know that, everyone. People wanted Ring of Honor off Dynamite. Now people are complaining that she's not on Dynamite. And that's where it keeps going. What's the problem? So you don't watch Elevation or Dark, I take it. You're not aware that Athena versus Yuka Sakazaki is a feud. Y'all bitched too much Ring of Honor on Dynamite and Rampage. You got it. Now you still complain. The comments prove it. And you see, look, isn't she Ring of Honor Women's Champion? At least he quit cramming Ring of Honor on, this is the best one of them all. At least he quit cramming Ring of Honor on TV. But now those wrestlers may not as well exist. Oh, so now you do want Ring of Honor on TV. Here we go a little bit more. You guys bitch when there's too much Ring of Honor on the show. You guys bitch when there isn't enough Ring of Honor on the show. Starting to think you just want a bitch. Athena hasn't been on TV because she hurt that stupid indie girl. She fucking dropped her on a hip. Well, people bitched about having Ring of Honor on AEW, and now they got what they wanted. Maybe fans just need to shut the fuck up and watch the show. So, let's go back to my follow-up comment. And I did this in tribute to the genius, Lanny Poffo, who recently died. Now, I'm going to do it. Now, I'm not going to impersonate the genius, But if you just picture Lanny Poffo in the ring and picture him saying this, "'Twas a few days before Dynamite, and all through this thread, Claudio, Joe, Yuda, and Cage, not a complaint has been said. But when it comes to Athena not being on TV, read the anal rash responses. They're dumb as can be." Let me say that one more time. I was a little cotton mouth. "'Twas a few days before Dynamite, and all through this thread, Claudio, Joe, Yuda, and Cage, not a complaint has been said. But when it comes to Athena not being on TV, read the anal rash responses. They're dumb as can be." My friends, every other person that is a Ring of Honor champion has been featured on Dynamite and Rampage over and over and over and over. Claudio, all over Dynamite and Rampage. Samoa Joe, all over Dynamite and Rampage. Yuta, all over Dynamite and Rampage. Brian Cage, all over Dynamite and Rampage. They're all champions right now, Ring of Honor. You count how many times Ring of Honor was mentioned tonight, and these people actually have the brain cells to say, "Oh, you didn't want Ring of Honor on TV. He got what you wanted. Now you're complaining?" They haven't fucking changed anything. She's the only person that is not featured on AEW TV. Bizarro land, everyone. But you see where I'm going with this? Don't be surprised if Athena pops up on Dynamite or Rampage next week, because Black History Month is coming to an end. And, you know, some people, they feel like in wrestling, they got to do that. Look, I called WWE out for it. When it was LGBTQ awareness, they had Jake Atlas and Mercedes Martinez team up to main event in NXT. And I liked it. And I felt bad Mercedes Martinez got injured at that time. But when it went down, my reaction, which I was being honest, was, would they have main evented if it was not LGBTQ awareness? It felt like WWE put them on TV, yes, to celebrate, but you want to see people on TV because they earned it, because they deserve it, because they should be on TV, not because they're certain skin color or certain sexual orientation or anything. I don't want to see Athena on TV simply because it's Black History Month. She should be on TV because she's one of the better talented wrestlers on that roster. And the women can't get more than one match on a Dynamite, one match on a Rampage. They can't break through on that. And people always say, well, you know, they don't have a really stacked roster. And you have this woman who has not been on Dynamite for over 4 months. And she's been on Rampage twice since August, September, October, November, December, January, February. 7 months. 7 months. And the best people could come back was, "Yo, bitch, you didn't want Ring of Honor on the TV. Now you got it, and now you're bitching that you're not." Since when was Athena signed to just be on Ring of Honor? That's first of all. And second of all, how come they're not complaining about all the other guys that are featured every week? You see where I'm going with this? I posted an observation about someone who has not been on TV, and I was greeted with not only confrontation, but stupid confrontation. This is the climate that even the upper brass in AEW never tries to dissipate. We just had Tony Khan in the last 6 weeks say, "Yeah, I would work with WWE." And then a month later, WWE and AEW truly hate each other. Something's not right here. And this is the climate. And honestly, when I got that response, I'm a big boy. I mean, I could take it. Yeah, I made my response and I said what I said. You know, they don't complain about others. But my point is, you know, you give a valid complaint about something, you're met with anger. You're met with confrontation. Take notice, not one woman. Now, I don't have a lot of ladies that follow on social media, but that post has been seen, 13,000 times? 13,000 times. Not one female spoke out and said, "Why is she not on TV?" Not one person. When you complain about Nikki Bella and, "Oh, look how the women were treated on Raw 30 and people losing it, she fucking went on Tamron Hall because of it." And something like this, everybody sticks their head in the sand, because they don't want to have the mob go after them. So these people deserve what they get. And honestly, that guy, look, I root for AEW. I'm a wrestling fan. I want to enjoy the shit I see on TV. I like that there is alternatives. But, man, what an angry, disgruntled, childish baby that he is. That has to keeps using the word war, war, war. We hate each other. That rubs down to your audience. And your audience feels that they got to be renegades also. That if WWE hates AEW, then we have to hate WWE in return. And this is why so many people get turned off. Honestly, I could give a flying fuck now if Athena is on TV or not. You see what I'm saying? Like, instead of people stepping up and saying, oh, yeah, 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 blah, 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 blah. We need this. We need it. Oh, this person should be back on TV. No, everybody hides. Everybody hides because they know the mob will go after them. So I just wanted to share that with you. Me, I don't lose sleep. You know, I just was kind of amazed that I put that observation, and that's the response that I got. And as I'm reading the Ring of Honor stuff, I'm saying these people cannot be serious. With all of the other champions on TV, look at how many people from Ring of Honor that represent them right now are on TV tonight. So, all right, I'm going to get out of here. We are at the 75-minute mark. And once again, we can't finish the show without it. Once again, even though he was mentioned on Twitter, but the Redeemer, Miro redeemed another week's pay doing nothing. The Redeemer, smartest man in the wrestling world. Oh, if it listen, each and every one of you out there, if you were Miro, you got a job, and your employer said, yeah, you know, go home. If I need you, I'll call you. And the check just comes in every single week, and 7-8 months go by, and all these checks keep coming in. Honey, look, I'm buying a W. If I was Miro, I would fucking go to Walmart, cash the AEW check, show the footage of you getting the cash for the AEW check, and go buy WWE Walmart figures. Seriously. Cash the AEW check on video and then go buy WWE merchandise with it. Seriously. Buy a WWE cameo. You know, like, use that money and buy something that would piss Tony Khan off. I mean, I know he wouldn't do that, obviously. You know, you don't want to piss off your employer. Tony Khan's stupid enough to keep paying him. You know, Miro's the smartest person in the room. And I mean that. Miro is gangsta, everyone. That motherfucker is gangsta. So I'll be enjoying tonight's episode. You know, as, you know, I do, I'm not going to lie, I do fall into the repetition sometimes. I try to keep Wednesdays, you know, not getting into like long 90-minute recaps of TV. You know, you're smart enough. You watch the show. You know what went down. You know, I'll point out certain things that should be addressed. But, you know, and if you didn't see the show, I give you a little overview and maybe that sways you to watching it or not watching it. I want to focus on topics and discussions, not so much just running down every little move in every match, you know. Other people do that. That's not here. So check it out. Before we go, I got a couple of super shout-outs and a couple of super plugs. Friday, we're going to do predictions for Elimination Chamber. It will be live at 10.05 p.m. right after SmackDown. We got 5 matches. They might announce the 6th. We don't know yet. But we will do that. By the way, I'm curious. Do you all know what's happening in 3 days? Saturday. Besides the Elimination Chamber, do you know what's happening? Have you really heard any buzz about this? I'm curious. The Battle in the Valley. Kairi Sane versus Mercedes. I don't see much of anybody talking about it. I mean, I do see a little here and there. You would think this is happening in a month. This is happening very, very shortly. The Battle in the Valley. So if you want to join me Friday for some preview and predictions, absolutely. We will definitely get into it. A couple of super shout-outs before we go. Ronnie C. with the 5-spot. ADT, I saw your show preview, and I have to ask, who do you think would face Grayson Waller at Stand and Deliver if it's not Shawn Michaels? Have a good show. Boy, you know what keeps coming to mind? X-Pac. But I don't see that either. A lot of people wanted to see X-Pac in the Royal Rumble. And I guarantee you would have had to have done less in the Royal Rumble than have a match with Grayson Waller. What I think is going to happen, I think a wrestler who has ties or respect or love for Shawn Michaels is going to confront Grayson Waller. Could it be somebody on the main roster? I think that is very possible. I think somebody from the main roster could very well confront Grayson Waller, and that could lead to a match at Stand and Deliver. As I said earlier, I do not see Shawn Michaels being the one. Makes no sense. I think that would be foolish. I see someone, and no, I don't think it's Matt Bloom. Because a few people yesterday were like, hey, DT, you think it's Matt Bloom? As much as I like A-Train, you know, I don't. It's not Matt Bloom. Somebody is going to step up for Shawn Michaels. And even though JC Jane is now calling herself the Heartbreak Chick, because she's calling Gigi Dolan the Jannetty of the group, I think somebody on the main roster could step up. I don't want somebody like Roderick Strong to show up. Come on, you guys. You know, as much as I like Roderick Strong, that would be a wet fart. Maybe Johnny Gargano. Maybe somebody like Johnny Gargano shows up in defense of Shawn Michaels. And by the way, doesn't Johnny Gargano kind of have a little bit of unfinished business there? I'm going to go with Gargano. But I think it's somebody from the main roster. I think that could be where they're leading. So, and it could be someone who does not have a WrestleMania match. So, you know, my thoughts are probably Gargano. But I think it's going to be somebody in the main roster. So, all right. Rojo Bear with a 5-spot. That was the weakest episode of Dynamite this year so far. You know, it was not a bad card. I mean, yes, we pointed out every babyface won. And the matches were okay. They weren't bad, and they weren't throwaways, but the confrontation with MJF was good. The confrontation with Mox and Hangman Page was good. You know, a lot of wrestlers did good. It felt like they tried to put too much in one plate. That's what I think. You know, I think, and listen, oh, let me say this, since you're bringing this up too. You know, let's be honest, everyone. Look at this card from tonight. You know that Moxley and Claudio, you know, that match is usually designed to open up a Dynamite or be the second match or open up a Rampage. Mark Briscoe closing the night out, I didn't see. Jack Perry versus Brian Cage certainly would not have closed the show. Hangman Page of Kip Sabian is not main event in a Dynamite anytime soon. And that just leaves the women's match. There were people tonight saying like, oh, Tony Khan, wow, he's putting the women in the main event. You see, he actually does care. You look at that card, and I honestly say, what match would have you closed out? And don't, please don't tell me Claudio, because you needed to cut promos afterwards. After Moxley had his match, Hangman got attacked. Hangman had his match. Moxley comes out. Hey, I see you keep looking at my shit. Let it go. How do you close out a Dynamite? The only match you could have closed out Dynamite was the women's match. No promos needed afterwards. They needed a whole bunch of extra to happen after the Moxley match and after the Page match. So, listen, I will bet you that we don't have more than one women's match to close out a Dynamite in the next 2 months. If there's more than one, I will come up in here and say I was wrong. But tonight was just lacking. It was just lacking. And to have Ruby Soho win, and then she's like torn. What? Oh, stupid. All right, King of Games with a 5-spot. Thank you, Games. ADT, am I surprised CM Punk has not responded to the constant reports from Dirt Sheets? No, he's letting them dig their own shit. You know, CM Punk called them out. You know, people don't want to just come out and say it because a lot of Dirt Sheets, they don't want to, because they're part of the problem. CM Punk flipping out was sparked by the Dirt Sheet shit. And the fact that the people behind the scenes in AEW feed these little nuggets to the Dirt Sheets who put it out there. And we've pointed that out many times. Miro gets a little momentum and somebody sends a little nugget to somebody in the dirt sheet world. Oh, put out there that Miro didn't want to work this match. Try to silence it quickly. Eddie, anybody, you see how quickly it is always, put it this way, whenever there is a report of something negative behind the scenes and it's not one of the friends of, you know, the people involved, you see there's always a journalist to have a counter of that claim within days. And that's the people in the back. So no, I think CM Punk is just sitting back and letting these journalists prove. When they do that, they prove his point. And what is he going to do? Tell somebody to fuck off? Tell somebody that's not true? For what? And then that person says, I stick to my story and my sources tell me this is true. You know, and no, CM Punk is not going to go there. So no, it does not surprise me at all. Does not surprise me at all. So, all right, my friends, I hope you had a good night. If you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. If you know anyone else out there you think might like the channel, let them know about it. Don't forget, this Friday I will be here right after SmackDown to do predictions for the Chamber. It's going to be a quick show because, with all honesty, a lot of these match outcomes are kind of predictable. If you think about it, Roman, Asuka, Theory, you know, Edge and Beth Phoenix, and the wild card is Brock and Lashley. And I still, as of right now, feel that Brock and Lashley is going to end up in a double disqualification, a no contest, a double count, whatever you want to call it. I think they're going to fuck each other up, and it's going to be so wild, they're going to throw it out, that the only way that they could finally settle this is within the confines of a steel cage or Hell in a Cell or something at WrestleMania. So, you know, maybe between now and Friday, I changed my mind. But I think right now, I think that event is very predictable as far as outcomes, but the quality is going to be top shelf. And so we have a lot to get into. And we'll see what happens on SmackDown. So much love, everyone. Hope you have a good night. And if you have any comments, any retort to what I said earlier, don't be a stranger. Post it in the chat. I see everything, and I know everyone else does as well. So much love. Be well. Have a good one.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.